So what do Bloomington residents want to see in that big vacant lot just north of downtown? Well, let's start with what they don't want to see.
Say another car wash or a fast food chain or something that is not in keeping with the historic nature of the neighborhood.
That's City Council member Julie Emig. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Friday, August 16th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with the future of a long vacant block near downtown Bloomington. Residents are not sure what exactly they want to see occupy that space at 800 North Main Street. WGLT's Mary Cullen has the story.
Something that would be economically viable.
Something that is respectful of the historic nature of the neighborhood.
A highly collaborative, innovative, multifunctional usage. If it's set up right, it could be a perfect location for huge seminars and really big festivals even.
Bloomington residents voiced their desires for what should occupy the 4.1-acre block that formerly housed Mennonite Hospital and Electrolux. The City of Bloomington and Illinois Wesleyan University hosted a public comment Thursday, hoping to inspire recently hired real estate broker Ryan Murphy. Murphy says he heard a lot of the same sentiments.
People want something on the site that's advantageous for the community as a whole, something that's an amenity, something that people can experience, something the community wants to go to.
While residents voiced a lot about what they would like to see at the site, there is an equally long list of what they don't want.
The cookie cutter retail on bottom and residential on top. I want to see something outside the box, that's something that this community really, really is like begging for.
I wouldn't care if it was a multi-use building.
Yeah.
That had retail on the first floor, and even if there was a Subway on there, that's okay, but I don't want a block covered with franchise restaurants or gas stations.
We need to utilize the block as productively as possible.
The block sits on the edge of Bloomington's 4th Ward and has been vacant since Electrolux left town in 2015. Councilmember Julie Emig says she's heard plenty from her constituents.
Residents do not want is, say, another car wash or a fast food chain or something that is not in keeping with the historic nature of the neighborhood.
Residents say it would be nice to see downtown's historic culture expand north on Main Street. And as some pointed out, the development plan shouldn't forget its neighbors.
If we're not respectful of their investment, that they've been living in some of those houses for decades.
There's business everywhere, there's money everywhere, but the community base and that feeling of having the support of the community is huge.
The broker, Ryan Murphy, says his next step is taking the ideas he heard from residents and developing a plan to remarket the space. For The Leadoff, I'm Mary Cullen.
Here are some of the other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. 26-year-old Dominique Atwater from Bloomington was charged yesterday with 7 felony counts in connection with a shooting Tuesday that injured 2 people on Springfield Road on the city's southwest side. Hy-Vee says it's investigating a potential security breach of credit card numbers at its locations, including the one in Bloomington. The investigation is looking at fuel pumps, drive-through coffee shops, and Hy-Vee restaurants, all of which use different payment processing systems than the grocery store. The Unit 5 School Board has approved a change to its final exams policy, letting high school juniors off the hook if their grades are high enough. That policy takes effect next spring. Find those stories and more at WGLT.org. An epidemic of African swine fever is sweeping through China's hog farms, and the effects are rippling across the globe because China is a superpower of pork. Half of the world's pigs live in China, or at least they did before the epidemic began a year ago. Yesterday, I visited Chad Lehman near Eureka in Woodford County. He's a hog producer, a third-generation farmer, and he says African swine fever is the biggest thing in the pig business today, even bigger than the ongoing trade disputes with China.
It's almost mind-boggling to think of how many pigs that is. We can never begin to supply what they've lost. And so when you think about that, along with the fact that you have to continually make new pigs for your future breeding herd. They have nothing in the pipeline for that next breeding herd. So I would say conservatively, they're in a 5 to 10 year glut right now to try to climb out of. There's no end in sight for this. They can't even control what they have to keep this thing from spreading. So it's almost mind-boggling to think how many pigs have been lost. If we get it over here, so once you get it, you can no longer export a pork product. Nothing can leave the country. So if we get it here, and keep in mind this is cannot be transmitted to humans, but if we get it here, you're talking the largest disruption to the pork industry that we have ever seen. And then it will have that trickle-down effect, because you're going to have millions of bushels of corn and tons of soybean meal that will not get fed to pigs.
So the risk of contamination and having it enter the United States is very, very much a top concern. What about opportunity for American hog farmers? Is it much of an opportunity right now, or with the China trade stuff, it's really kind of holding you at bay?
Well, the trade dispute is certainly taking the enthusiasm off of the opportunity we have. I mean, we have a prime destination for pork right now in China, but the tariff price is so steep that it's muted. So yeah, we've got this huge bait dangling out there if we could go get it. But if we get it here, it all goes away. And it goes away in a big way. So it's a challenging time to know how to hedge pigs. You know, how do you market these pigs? Are the prices today as good as they're going to get? Or if we work out a trade deal with China and we don't get ASF here, we could see the best prices we've ever seen 3 months, 6 months from now.
That's Chad Lehman, hog farmer from Eureka in Woodford County. He's also a board member with the Illinois Pork Producers Trade Group. Before we let you go, happy first day of school for Unit 5 students. And District 87's school year begins on Monday. And if parents are looking to celebrate said back to school, Brugula is tonight and Saturday at the Corn Crib. The 20th annual JC's event raises money for local nonprofits. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.